The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Silver of Studios. I need something kind of fun here, so I have a little game for us to begin the hour.
Oh,
I think
great.
This will be a lot of fun. Sean, you're playing too here. So I just got in some audio. This is from a charity tournament. Okay?
Okay.
Charity tournament. And you have to listen to what's going on here, and you have to guess what the activity of the tournament is. Okay? So, and I'll do a little play-by-play since there are some visuals with this this audio as well. But all I will tell you is there are a bunch of men involved, and they're outdoors. I'll give you a clue. They're outdoors, and here's what happens.
Get the crap!
Whoa. I gotta go back here. Okay, now two of the men are just brawling. They're wearing shorts and polos, and they're just brawling here. Okay, one guy tackles the other. Now two guys gang up on one guy. Now one guy just ripped off the polo shirt of the next guy here.
Stop it right.
Okay, now here's the announcer, and she's trying to jump in and restore some order because this is an all-out brawl. There looks like there's two sets of guys who are brawling here.
Now, we will stop this tournament. This is stupid. This is absolutely ridiculous. Get out of here.
Okay, so my question for all of you, what is the tournament event that's taking place with this audio?
I actually watched that yesterday.
Oh, so you see, okay, play. You have to disqualify yourself then.
I'll disqualify myself.
I have not watched it, but you said they were wearing shorts.
They're wearing shorts and polo shirts.
How about it? Very twisted game of rugby.
Rugby is Ursula's guess. Sean, what do you think is the twisted tournament event here?
I'm going to say putt-putt, mini golf.
Putt-putt.
You would wear okay. a polo to that.
Let me keep playing the audio with the announcer here, and she reveals what this is. Oh, did I mention it's a charity event?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it is a charity event fundraiser. Okay, let me play the rest of the audio for you here.
Get out of here! We will stop this tournament right now! We are adults! And this is ridiculous. It is a cornhole tournament fundraiser. Cut the crap.
Cornhole. One of the weirdest names for a game.
I love that game, though.
I just...
Why were they brawling?
Well, that's not explained. I just have the video. I don't have the backstory.
There's probably a lot of alcohol involved.
I just find this to be one of the greatest combined lines in audio history here.
Get out of here! We will stop this tournament right now!
Coming up here.
We're adults, and this is ridiculous. It is a cornhole tournament fun.
We're adults, and this is a cornhole tournament. Like, what kind of adult would brawl during a cornhole tournament for charity, for crying out loud? And this reminds me of a tweet I sent out. When did I send this out here? On May 3rd. When was that? That was Friday night?
A week ago.
Thursday night. Mm-hmm. Thursday night. So I'm sitting at home. It's about, oh gosh, I don't know, 7:30, a lovely spring evening.
Mm-hmm.
And I decide I'm going to turn on the TV and see what's on. And I see that there's something on ESPN2. And then I pull up the channel guide and I see that there's something else on BBC America.
Mm.
And what I tweeted, I can't decide right now. American Cornhole Championships on ESPN2 or Premier League Darts on BBC America. Help. So I sent that out at 7:11 p.m. Minutes later, I get a tweet response from the American Cornhole League. I'm serious. And all they said in response was, easy choice.
Love it.
I did too. I didn't.
There's
even
a cornhole association?
Well, it's a league, the American Cornhole League.
Oh.
Yeah. Which, by the way, if the kids who don't know what they're going to do for a living.
Do you think everybody knows what cornhole is?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody knows.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, there's a league for everything. I think I told you, that at one point in my life, I wanted to be a professional miniature golfer.
Uh-huh.
Professional. Professional, yeah.
Okay.
And I got the rule book for the.
I just wanted to make money just doing anything. Horse racing.
Yeah.
Calling the races.
Well, I was a bit of a ne'er-do-well.
You were a bit of a hustler.
Yeah, ne'er-do-well is the right word. But yeah, I got the rule book for the PPA, the Professional Putters Association, which was a real thing. I don't know if, I think they still exist, but they would only play on putt-putt golf courses, which are very different, Ursula, from miniature golf courses.
Ah.
They're both miniature golf.
See, I didn't know there was even a difference.
Yes, all putt-putt is miniature golf, but not all miniature golf is putt-putt. If it's got the windmills and the stuff like that, that's miniature golf. But putt-putt is just straight putting. I mean, it has the little curves and the ramps and the hills and all that, but there are no obstacles because that would bastardize the game.
Ah.
It would sully the purity of putt-putt golf. And there used to be a bunch of putt-putt courses around. I don't even know if we have any anymore. There used to be one on Lake.
How about Green Lake? Is that a putt-putt or is that mini golf? Inner Bay.
Inner Bay. Yeah. I don't know if that's putt. No, that's natural grass. But there used to be putt. When I was a kid, there was putt-putt golf on Lake City Way. There was one up in Edmonds. I think the Inner Bay one back then was putt-putt. And the thing was, when I was 11, 12 years old, I'd take the bus from Ballard down to Inner Bay with one of my Little League buddies, Roy, and we'd get there right when they would open at 10 a.m., and they had a deal where you could putt all day for $5. And so we'd play like 15 rounds. We'd get there right at opening, and we'd grab a hot dog around noon, and then we'd take the bus home about 5 p.m., and that was a full day in the summertime back then.
Nice.
Yeah, well, it was a good life. It's a good, full, rich life. So anyway, the bottom line, and the only reason I bring all of this up is because adults should not engage in this kind of brawlish, boorish behavior.
Get out of here! We will stop this tournament right now! We are adults, and this is ridiculous! It is a cornhole tournament fundraiser!
Yeah.
Cut the crap!
Cut the crap!
And for anyone who doesn't, it's like a beanbag tossing lawn game, but with corn. Yeah,
you asked me if we needed to explain.
I just don't think everybody knows.
Everybody knows. Everyone knows cornhole. Again, there's not one person listening who doesn't know what cornhole is. I assure you of that.
Text us if you disagree or didn't know.
Oh, please.
No, I think everybody knows.
We need clogging up our text messages. Okay, with that as mere prelude, let's get to this hour's top story.
The big lead, top story.
More proof of how misguided our local politicians are. We got details that King County has had a record number of overdose deaths in the last year. And we're talking about not just opioids, meth, alcohol, but record number 379. Deaths in King County last year. The reason this is notable is because we have some government officials who believe the solution is, well, let's have the heroin death injection sites. Let's let people inject even more of this poison into their veins. And there was a story about this yesterday on the news. And this was Channel 7, our news partners. They talked to a guy who runs a needle exchange in the U District named Shiloh Jama. And they said, yeah, we're already doing the supervised injection. It's just that people don't even know it yet.
There's three unsanctioned safe consumption sites in the city right now. that are more underground, and they've had multiple times where they have reversed overdoses.
So we have three unsanctioned heroin death sites. They told us that would be the beginning of a solution to the opioid deaths, and yet we had a record number of opioid deaths in King County last year. But here's where we can prove the foolishness of local politicians. Mike O'Brien, a few weeks ago, he was at a community center meeting with people who live in Ballard, and they've had it with the tiny homes going in their neighborhood. Whittier Heights is the latest one that they're going to put in. There are home break-ins. There are car prowls. There are people being assaulted around these tiny homes that you and I are paying for with our tax dollars because they tell people you can inject heroin. You can drink alcohol in your tiny home. So Mike O'Brien was talking to Ballard residents, including Erica, who's been on our show a few times.
You're telling us you're going to you're allowing drug use at these. That is right there saying go ahead and disobey the law. In the same breath that you're saying, well, we are telling the police not to do that. You're allowing them to break the law with no path to treatment.
Sit down with the police chief or any of the command staff, and what they say is like, we know that arresting people that simply have an addiction issue is not a solution to a problem.
So you said
we're not saying don't do it. But they don't do it because it makes absolutely no sense.
There's not enough of them. They're not even staffed properly. And so then you put the Whittier Heights in there, and the same thing the community officer said, we're not ready, we're not prepared to even deal with what we have right now.
Do you agree that the war on drugs was a failure, or do you think that was a success?
I don't even want to get into your politics about this whole thing. That's not working, but this isn't working.
What a snide tone by a smarmy man. Mike O'Brien, do you agree the war on drugs was a failure? And as if what we have now is a comparative success, Mike O'Brien? People injecting heroin in front of cops in downtown Seattle. People injecting heroin in their taxpayer-funded housing. Heroin addicts all around Western Washington. So if you're trying to say the war on drugs was a failure compared to this Disneyland that you've created now, you're insane. I really have no idea if Mike O'Brien believes half the stuff that he says. I don't know his motivation for saying stuff. But if you want to compare the war on drugs era to the hands-off era of 2018, I would say today is far more of a failure. That's not an endorsement of the war on drugs. But don't you try to tell me or anybody else who's listening that the way you're dealing with things now is a comparative success, because people are dying in record numbers, crime is in record numbers, homelessness record numbers, addiction record numbers. And that smarmy Mike O'Brien, do you agree the war on drugs was a failure?
We're not ready. We're not prepared to even deal with what we have right now.
Do you agree that the war on drugs was a failure, or do you think that was a success?
I don't even want to get
it. Or do you think that was a success? Mike O'Brien, do you agree that the way you're doing things now is a failure, or is this your idea of a success? It's just, you know, man, for somebody who went to Lakeside and Duke, he sure can sound dumb. Next up, Mr. Douglas. Next up in the Fastest 15.
It's the big lead. It's the big Bizarro lead. World.
It has nothing to do with the Fastest 15. Next up, the drug crisis is throughout Western Washington, including over on the ocean coast town of Aberdeen. We talked a couple of hours ago with a guy. He bought 8 acres on the river in Aberdeen, in the city, and now his 8 acres are filled with 100 vagrant squatters, drug users, living in tents, living under tarps on his property. His name is Mike Lang. What have you done with the land in the past?
I just bought it as an investment 20 years ago, and it was the site of an old sawmill that had been torn down.
Oh, okay.
It's been vacant for all that time. But in the last few years, we've run into the recurring problem of having a bunch of people homeless and whatever various, a lot of different types of people there that camp out on the river in violation of the city's ordinances for what's allowed.
Sure.
You know, in town. The people are sitting there, they're building tent camps and you know, plastic, almost plastic tent city.
Can you imagine a private citizen with private property? He bought the 8 acres just as an investment. He's just sitting on it. He's not using it. He's not developing it. And now it is filled with druggy vagrants. How many people are living on your property right now?
Well, it varies because they come and go, but I'm sure there's over 100.
Over 100 on his property.
I mean, I've put them up so many times that...
I asked him, this is the answer to my question. Have you put up no trespassing signs on your property? Do they know that it's private property?
I've put them up so many times that, you know, they just tear them down. They just rip the stuff out. I've struggled with it for years now. Finally, it just gotten to the point where it just overwhelms me. I've got them cleaned out of there, three or four different times when I had them down to there's nobody left down there. And then as soon as you turn around, there's three of them camped out again. And then it just keeps building. And you know, I've been going through getting notices from the city to get them out of there. And
yeah.
We've done that, tried to, but it just becomes more and more overwhelming all the time.
Nothing is more important to a free society than private property rights. And to hear that drug addicts can just take over this man's property. And here's the thing. There are homeless advocates over there in Aberdeen who are working on behalf of the squatters. It's your property. You should be able to kick people off anytime you want.
Yep, you're right, but these advocacy groups, I guess you'd call it, that they go along, well, the police and I are going along there getting the people to start moving their stuff out. These other groups are going right along behind us telling them that, no, don't worry about that. You've got squatters' rights, and they can't make you move. And you know, I mean, so
yeah.
as we get them moving in front of us, by the time we get back around, they've already moved back in on the backside again.
The drug crisis throughout our region is even taking away private citizens' private property rights. And we have politicians and homeless advocates that are working to say, oh, let them stay. Let the drug users. And then guess what happens when one of them in a drug stupor falls into the river? Guess who's going to get sued? Guess who they're going to see his deep pockets? Maybe they can sue and get his land from him. This is insanity, what is happening all around our region, whether it's the homes being broken into in Seattle or the acreage that's being squatted upon in Aberdeen. Our politicians have let our entire region be taken over by drug addiction, all in their pursuit of tax money. It's shameful and it's shameless. And that's your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
First, we're going to check the news, and then we're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Coming up next. And two important updates. First of all, a lot of our listeners did not know.
I knew it.
What cornhole was.
I know.
And apparently there is no more putt-putt golf in Washington State. I'm on the official putt-putt golf website.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, there's lots of miniature golf.
Okay. So even the one in Inner Bay or Green Lake, those are
mini. Well, Green Lake's a par three.
Oh.
They don't have mini golf.
Yeah, I know
Green
nothing
Lake.
About that.
But yeah, there's no more putt-putt in Washington State.
Okay.
Miniature golf is different. Okay? I just want to make sure everybody understands that.
Okay.
With that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Remember when Paul McCartney was married to Linda?
Mm-hmm.
And they'd been married for 30, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they had never once spent a night apart.
Yes.
Never. And I remember talking about that on the show, and
Suzanne
I thought
Summers also we talked
yep.
to them.
Suzanne
Summers,
that's
yep.
right.
Either.
She
yep.
told us about that.
Yep.
Never has spent a night apart from her spouse. when you are apart, because I know that occasionally you'll do a girls' weekend.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. When you're apart, are you okay with that?
Yes. Not only okay with it, I feel like it's mandatory. I feel like it's necessary. What?
Is it better?
Why wouldn't I be? No. My husband, I hit the jackpot with my husband.
Oh, I know. And I hit the jackpot with my wife.
But
I'm just talking about sleeping. The whole bed experience.
Oh,
is it better?
Yes.
When you're not with your husband.
Okay, bless my husband. He
snores. You love your husband, I love my wife. Okay, we don't need to preface it.
Yeah, exactly. But he snores, so that keeps me up. And I am a very bad sleeper.
Oh, yeah. I snore.
So does your wife do what I do? And I sometimes have to, like, roll him over. Like, you need to be on your side. I mean, I will sit there and I will just be watching, like, this is really irritating.
My wife's
really
kind of used to it. I mean, you know, we're coming up on our 31st anniversary, so she's kind of used
to it. I'm coming up to my 25th.
You know who's not used to it?
Who?
I've told the story before. Tell you what it's like to be awakened at 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
By
you.
A hulking linebacker kicking your bed. Wyman, when we had to. First of all, how cheap was this company back then?
Wait. That you Wyman shared a bed with Dave Wyman?
Didn't share a bed? What's the matter with you?
You guys were like spooning? What the heck?
Wow. What's wrong with you?
What's
they have these
today?
Hotel rooms that have two queens.
Oh, okay. Oh, gotcha.
Beds. I want to make sure two beds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Make sure you clarify that, Dory.
Two beds. That's exactly what I meant, for crying out loud.
Shared a room.
Okay, well, you went from talking about sleeping in the same bed with husband, then you talk about Dave Wyman. So I'm sorry, I didn't make the jump.
I think you could have assumed.
Okay,
I
gotcha. Because then you were going to go about how cheap are they. And I'm thinking, that's
cheap
really
is
cheap.
The company that they made Wyman and me share a hotel room.
Oh, boy.
In New York City. Because, hotels in New York City are too expensive.
Well, wasn't it during the Super Bowl?
Yeah, it was Super Bowl week.
Yeah, they are expensive.
And it was the official NFL hotel where Radio Row was. So it's the I think it was the Hilton.
Not only are they expensive, they're very hard to find during the Super Bowl. Let's get real. Okay, but anyway, So
I'm snoring, and all of a sudden, Dory, he's kicking my bed and my mattress and waking me up. You got to stop snoring, man. You got to stop. My wife doesn't do that to me.
She is an angel.
The reason I bring all... Oh, by the way, I've made a huge decision when I was in Arizona having life-saving surgery a couple weeks ago. I'm going to go back on the CPAP.
Ah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I got to get back on that, even though it annoyed me. The reason I bring this all up is because actor Rob Lowe, he says that he sleeps much better without his wife.
I sleep better on the road. I sleep better on the road because I'm not with my wife. And it's just it's the truth. I mean, I love her enough to speak the truth. And what it is she's obsessed with playing Family Feud till 5 and 6 in the morning on the iPad and wakes me up like, honey, quick, name 5 foods that are gross. I'm like, I just want to go to... So the answer is yes. My sleep on the road, mwah, love it.
And I have to. I think I sleep much better because I'm the annoying one. My wife likes a quiet, dark room.
Uh-huh.
I have to have the TV on.
I know.
My big concession
that's all wrong for both of us. I have the TV on too, and that's why I have bad sleep.
I have this 15-foot audio cord so I can put earbuds in so the noise doesn't bother my wife, but the flashing light on the screen does. And then I incorporate what I'm listening to in the earbuds into my dream, which is horrible. It means I'm not getting real sleep. And so my wife would, like, I think she's fine if I'm on the road. I can just watch TV all night and not have the earbuds annoying my ears.
We probably should have made that Awesome Audio number one, because now 2 and 1 weren't that great.
And we're out. We're done. We're done. That's all.
Moving on.
That is number
awesome
one.
Audio.
Coming up next, we'll tell you what is today's sign, the end is near. We come. What a day. What a show. What a show. What a day. We got to finish strong. with today's edition of
Today's Sign That the End Is Near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. Make this a triple shot. Another mass shooting in America. And for the second time in a week, nobody is talking about it. Last Saturday, I told you 18 people were shot in Chicago. No one in America seemed to care. CNN and MSNBC did not go wall to wall on the weekend shootings. Kids are not walking out of school over the shootings. And it's happened again. On Tuesday, in a 17-hour period, 17 more people were shot in Chicago, including a 15-year-old girl who was killed. Jasmine Jetter was walking in her neighborhood 8:30 p.m. on Tuesday when an unknown offender fired shots from a gangway, striking her in the chest. 15 years old. Police say they don't know if Jasmine was the intended target. She was one of 17 people shot in that 17-hour period in Chicago. Four people were killed. 15 minutes after Jasmine was killed, a 53-year-old man was shot and killed behind a building. An 18-year-old man was then killed in a drive-by shooting. One victim is in critical condition. 17 people shot in a 17-hour period. That is a mass shooting. No wall-to-wall coverage on the cable news networks. No school kids walking out. Chicago has the toughest, most stringent gun laws in the country. But nobody seems to care when people get murdered in Chicago. Doesn't even make a ripple of news. Makes you wonder if all of the networks and the school walkouts, are they really about saving lives? Or is it just very conditional on who the victims are? Got a much lighter note in today's sign. Remember the campaign ad I played for you a few days ago? A guy named Brian Kemp, he's running for governor in Georgia. And the ad he released a few days ago shows a teenage boy sitting next to Brian Kemp. And Brian Kemp has a shotgun in his hands as he records this commercial.
I'm Brian Kemp. This is Jake, young man interested in one of my daughters.
Yes, sir.
Jake asked why I was running for governor. I said, one,
cap government spending.
Two,
take a chainsaw to regulations.
Three,
make Georgia number one for small business.
And two things if you're going to date one of my daughters.
Respect.
And?
A healthy appreciation for the Second Amendment, sir.
We're going to get along just fine.
Brian Kemp for governor.
He's holding the shotgun in his lap the whole time. Well, this guy has now released another campaign ad kind of along the same lines.
I'm Brian Kemp. I'm so conservative, I blow up government spending.
It shows an explosion in the field behind him there.
I own guns that no one's taken away. My chainsaw's ready to rip up some regulations. I got a big truck, just in case I need to round up criminal illegals and take them home myself. Yeah, I just said that. I'm Brian Kemp. If you want a politically incorrect conservative, that's me.
That's the guy who wants to be governor of Georgia, and he's getting a lot of free airtime with his commercials because some people think they're hilarious, and some people are infuriated by them. All right, and finally in today's sign, do we have any graduation music by any chance in our vast library back there? Graduation music, please. Yeah, kind of corny. Got a couple of graduation stories for you here. Did you hear what Bill Gates and his wife Melinda, what they bought their daughter for graduation? Their daughter, they're warning parents not to cheer or clap at their kids' graduation. And if they do, the parents could get hit with a $1,000 fine. They say that parents going overboard, cheering, clapping, vuvuzelas, whatever those things are called, that it just drags on the ceremony too much. I gotta kind of agree. When you're at a graduation ceremony, you just want it to get over with. Let all the kids quickly walk across, cheer for all of them at the end. You don't have to scream when your kid's walking across the stage. All the times we had together. At an assembly for the parents, they said the fine for family members yelling out at graduation is going to be $1,030. I don't know how they came up with such a precise amount, $1,030. But yeah, just save your applause for the end, for crying out loud. And all of that is today's sign, the end is near. I got to get out of here. I have said everything that I have to say for today. But I am going to think up a bunch of new stuff for tomorrow. We'll keep watchdogging all the local government tomorrow. I'm going to go home and start working on our Friday extravaganza. My thanks to the Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Duff McKagan from Guns N' Roses, for spending a half hour with us earlier in the big show. If you didn't have a chance to hear it, check out our podcast of the 1 o'clock hour today. But thanks to Duff for coming on. And that'll do it for us. The Ron and Don Show is coming up next. And I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Head up.
Now that was unwholesome. That was not cultural.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.